Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praises to the glory of God's name. Welcome to worship this morning at First Presbyterian Church. I invite you to fill in the friendship pads in your pews there and pass those along. We extend a special welcome to any visitors. If you did not already receive a welcome gift, welcome bag as you came in, please make sure to pick one up from the table out in the narthex as you head out. I will be leading a new member class coming up in November 16th. So if you're interested in that, please make a note on the friendship pads and be reaching out to people and inviting you to come and be a part of that. Today, we're glad to have Pam Lane as our guest musician. Good to have you back here. If you don't already know her, you can read more about her in the bio in the bulletin this morning. Today, for Growing Connections, that'll be in Fellowship Hall, 10:15. Detectives Tyler Tickenen and Derek Rehfeldt, I'm not sure. I may have slaughtered their names. I apologize if I did. Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Department. They're going to be leading an important session on the growing issues of phone and email spams and scams. So I encourage you to go in there, and as you have some fellowship time, learn how to recognize the warning signs. Protect your personal information. Stay safe from fraud. And if you get any email or text from me as the pastor supposedly asking for gift cards, no, that's not it. That is one of those common scams that happens all the time. There will be a congregational meeting coming up on October 26th, right at the close of worship. And the purpose of that congregational meeting is to edit our bylaws, changing in line 18 from the word November, when we should have a congregational meeting, to the fourth quarter. That gives us a little more flexibility. Also to approve the pastor's terms of call, my compensation for 2026, and to elect new officers, elders, and deacons. If you're thinking about being, if you're being called to be an elder, a deacon, you want to do learn more about that, step into that role, please reach out to nominating committee and let them know. Members of our nominating committee would be Danielle Pike as an elder, Phyllis Munson as a deacon, Mike Hurl, Nancy Hilbert, or Cheryl Brown. Also coming up, we've got a movie night coming up for entire congregation. It's Inside Out 2 is going to be happening. So be checking for information on that in your bulletins and newsletter. Also, it's getting colder. We do have a drop box out here for coats for kids. If you'd like to bring in a coat to be able to help out some of the children in community, please bring one in here these next couple of weeks so we can get those to people and get those distributed around the community. Another one of the many ways that we support our community, that we're engaged, helping out the lives of so many others. This time I invite Gerhard to come up and continue to lead us in our worship.
Goedemorgen. Please rise as you're able and join me in a call to worship. When we are lonely and feeling lost,
Jesus calls us and brings us hope and peace.
When we are angry and frustrated,
Jesus heals our wounds and soothes our tempers.
When we are sorrowful and broken, come, let us worship the one who cares so abundantly for us. O Lord, we give you thanks for the healing love you have offered us, for the patience you have with us, for your presence that will never fail. We bring our hearts and spirits to you that we may grow in our faith and service to you by serving others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Excellent.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, yet we are justified by the gift of God's grace through the redemption that is ours in Jesus, or Christ Jesus. Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sin. Patient Lord, you know how easy it is for one whine and complain bitterly about all those things in our lives that are difficult. We focus on them as though they were the only things that ever happened to us, forgetting the many blessings you have given to us and the opportunities you give us to serve you. We feel alienated. You call us beloved. We feel lost. You seek us. We feel broken and battered. Your love is healing balm. Forgive us when we forget those things. Let us take a few moments to offer silent confessions. God of grace, help us to always look to you for our healing and to return thanks to you by praise, serving others in your name. For we offer this prayer of confession of our failures and gratitude for your blessings. Amen. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and to life, to all that is good. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Hear the instructions from Colossians 3:13. Be tolerant with each other and if someone has a complaint against you, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. The peace of Christ be with you. Please take a few moments to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Psalm reading for Psalm 111 from a Common English Bible, page 562 and also pages 754 respectively. Psalm 111 is a classic psalm of praise, extolling the virtues of God presented as praise of a single individual. The mighty acts of God remembered in this liturgy of faith through ancient Israel into covenant relation with Yahweh, a relation issue in the wholeness of life and community. Let us be united as we read Psalm 111 responsively. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for all my heart in the company of those who do right in the congregation. The works of the Lord are magnificent. They are treasured by all who desire them. God's deeds are majestic and glorious. God's righteousness stands forever. God is famous for his wondrous works. The Lord is full of mercy and compassion. God's good to those who honor him. God remembers his confident favor. God proclaimed his powerful deeds to his people and gave them what had belonged to other nations. God's handiwork is honesty and justice. All God's rules are trustworthy. They are established always and forever. They are fulfilled with truth and right doing. God sent redemption for his people. God commanded that his covenant last forever. Holy and awesome is God's name. Fear of the Lord is where wisdom begins. Sure knowledge for all who keep God's laws. God's praise lasts forever.
Today's gospel reading, prescribed to us by the Revised Common Lectionary, continues us through Luke's gospel, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. Listen for the word of the Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with skin diseases approached him. Keeping their distance from him, raised their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, show us mercy." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they left, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus replied, "Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has healed you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Invite Jennifer and children to come forward for children's moments.
Good morning. Who here does exercise? Anybody do exercise? Why do we do exercise? How come we do exercise?
To stay healthy,
right? Get stronger, get our muscles bigger. Bennett, do you do exercise? Yeah? So we do those things to keep our body healthy. What else do we do? We don't just exercise. What else do we do to keep our bodies healthy? Go on runs. Yep. Eat healthy food. Yep. Do you eat healthy food? Eat your vegetables.
Drink water. Anybody get enough sleep at night? Yeah.
Yeah. Getting good sleep and going to the doctor and going to the dentist and brushing our teeth. Those are all ways we take care of our body. So how do we take care of our hearts? What do to take care of our hearts?
To worship, right? We come to worship together. We pray to God. We sing songs to God, right? We do all those things. Well, in the story that Pastor just read, Jesus healed all of those men, and then one of them came back. What did he do when he came back? He said, "Thank you." Right? He was so thankful for God that he came back to say thank you. He connected back to God. And that's when he wasn't just healed. He was made well. So we take care of our body in not just exercise. We eat good foods and we do all those other things. So when we come to worship or when we pray, we do all those things. If we do them all by ourselves, it's okay. We're being pretty healthy. But it's not until we come together and share God's love with other people that we are really healthy. And we become healthy and we do. Why do we want to be healthy? Do you know why we want to be healthy? Why do you want your body to be healthy? So you can feel good and so you can do more things, right? Are you healthy? Yep. And because you're healthy, you get to run around and you get to play and you get to read stories. And when we are healthy, we can share God's love with other people. And so that's why we want to become healthy. So think about that next time mom and dad say, it's time to go to bed, right? Next time it's bedtime, think about how this is going to make my body healthy. I think that's a good thing, right? And just like, let's come to church. This is a good time for me to start being healthy. And then when you're at school and you see somebody who maybe needs a little help, or maybe who's kind of someone who's not feeling very good that day, it's kind of sad, you can help them to feel God's love too. All right, let's take some time. Let's say a prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the gifts that you give to us every day. We thank you for your love. And we ask that you would help us to share that love with everyone that we meet. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the outset of today's story, passage from Luke, we have 10 men that are stuck. They've got a skin disease of some sort. It probably wasn't leprosy as we know leprosy today, but it was something similar. And it was probably something contagious. But more importantly, is the theological aspect of it, which caused them to be quote-unquote unclean by the Jewish religious laws, and therefore they were not able to gather together to worship. They couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't be with God's people. They were stuck living in the borderlands between the regions of Galilee and Samaria. Little side note, where is Galilee, Samaria? If you think of modern-day Israel, Galilee would be at the north, and Judah is at the bottom. In order to go from Galilee to Judea, you have to go through Samaria. Samaria. That's the spot in the middle there. It's a borderland place that these men are in between Galilee and Samaria. It's a no man's land, home to those that were outcast, unclean, socially, physically, religiously. By the end of the story, they're no longer stuck living in this isolated borderland. All 10 saw Jesus. They called out to him. They were acknowledged by Jesus, and they were cleansed. But one of those 10 had something more. In verse 15, we read that one of them was not only cleansed, but he realized that he had also been healed. Now, the original Greek language used to write Luke's gospel intentionally uses two different words for healed and cleansed. Spoiler alert, cleansed has to do with the outward, visible, and the healing. To be healed is more of that inward change of identity. For us to grasp the important application of this passage for our lives today, I want us to focus on the words of Jesus in those final two verses. Jesus says, "No one returned to praise God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has healed you." This foreign faith, this is what we all need. What does it mean to be a foreigner? This final descriptive word of verse 18, allogenes, is another unique Greek word. It's translated in various ways in our modern English translations, foreigner, stranger, or alien. Allogenes is comprised of two different Greek words. It's a compound word. Allos means together, and genos means a kind, a race, offspring. Allogenos, another race, another kind, somebody who is an alien, not one of us. This word is only used once in the New Testament, here in this spot. It's important that we remember this concept of being an alien or a foreigner. It's rooted in the concept of one who has been alienated. Not that they are initially an alien, but that they have been alienated. It's typically used to describe an illegitimate child, usually meaning between a Jewish person and a non-Jewish person, someone of some sort of mixed race other than just God's chosen people. To be one of these illegitimate half-breeds, as some people like to translate the Samaritans, it was more revolting to the righteous, religious, Jewish people than it was to be a Gentile. Gentiles were simply outsiders, but Samaritans had chosen to defile their pure religious heritage. Back when they intermarried with Assyrians after the resettlement of the Northern Kingdom. So when this original audience hearing Luke's gospel hear Jesus ask, "No one returned to praise God except this foreigner, this allogenes," they had a much deeper understanding of who this person really was, this foreigner. Not only did Jesus cleanse all 10 people, but he also cleansed this foreigner of his illegitimate identity, handed down to him for generation after generation. Romans 2, 28-29 says, "It isn't the Jew who maintains outward appearances who will receive praise from God, and it isn't people who are outwardly circumcised in their bodies. Instead, it's a person who is a Jew inside, who is circumcised in spirit, not literally. That person's praise doesn't come from people, but from God." Being part of God's chosen people is not based on our heritage, but on our response to being remembered by God, being remembered and remembered, brought together. This is part of the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy from Isaiah 49:6. "It's not enough to raise up the tribes of Jacob. I will also appoint you as a light to the nations so that my salvation might reach to the ends of the earth." God not only remembers us, recognizes us, acknowledges us, but he remembers us, unites us back together. There are various ways that we recognize that God has remembered us and has healed us of our brokenness and our separation. Our response is to be one of thanksgiving for what God has done. What happens when a person responds to the healing power of Jesus? What happens when a person who has been considered an outsider, someone who has been forced to live on the margins of society, those who have felt unwelcomed by most Christian churches, when that person feels a sense of welcome and acceptance, regardless of their past or their outward appearance? That answer is found in the final verse of today's passage, Luke 17:19. "Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up and go. Your faith has healed you.'" Healed you. The New International Version, New Revised Standard Version translate this as, "Your faith has made you well." Eugene Peterson translates it in The Message as, "Your faith has both healed and saved you." That gets closer to the original Greek word, which can be translated as made well or saved. It can also be translated, as King James Version does, "Your faith has made you whole." Whatever way that we want to translate it, one thing is clear. There's more at stake here than mere physical healing of whatever skin disease there was. This half-breed Samaritan saw Jesus. He was seen by Jesus. He was healed of his skin disease. And by returning to praise God and give thanks for his outward physical healing, he was made inwardly whole. He was made inwardly whole. Your faith has healed you and saved you. His identity was no longer based on his outward appearance that people could see. It was no longer based on his ancestral history, his heritage. He accepted a new identity and became a part of God's chosen people. He has seen Jesus, recognized his blessing of physical healing, rejoiced in it, and then changed his course of action and behavior. You might say that when he turned around and came back to Jesus, he acted out repentance and acknowledged his repentance, his need for Jesus. Because he sees the one who caused this healing to happen and understands he has been made whole. He's being restored, drawn back into relationship with God, with other human beings. He has been saved. Have you been saved? That's a common question of Christian faith. Question I've asked many people, and for many Christians today, this question has become the central point of most evangelical sermons. This isn't necessarily bad, but I feel it too often that expected answer is based on a simple statement of belief in Jesus Christ. In other words, it's about a cognitive, doctrinal affirmation. There's nothing wrong with that. That is necessary. But this text points out that to be truly saved includes so much more. We can't reduce our faith and our salvation down to, yes, I've said the sinner's prayer. I repent, I'm saved. There needs to be something deeper. Remember the story from a few weeks back about the cost of discipleship in Luke chapter 14, where it says, who would go to war without making sure you could win the battles so you don't get taken captive and exiled, maybe to the borderlands? Who would build a tower without first calculating the cost so you don't run out of money with it being half built and be embarrassed and be banished to living along the borderlands of society? Maybe in today's world, we'd say, who would go out and purchase tickets to a Brewers-Dodgers game without calculating the cost of travel and food and lodging so you don't get ridiculed by all your friends, all your coworkers, end up just hiding out in your cubicle, embarrassed that you've got tickets, but you can't go to the game? We wouldn't do that. There's a cost that we need to think of before we take that initial step, isn't there? To be saved, to be made whole, it's more than just the cognitive decision, more than simply associating with a church, more than simply saying, yes, I am a member of XYZ church. There is a larger cost. Of the 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus, 9 of them focused on what they had been taught was the proper action. Go and show yourselves to the priest. When the priest saw them, they would be cleansed and they could be brought back into the community of worship. Jesus commanded them to go and do that. Jesus recognized that law and said, go, do it. There's nothing wrong with that. But the text ends with Jesus commanding the 10th as well, again, to get up and go. I have to assume that, again, Jesus was saying, you still need to go and do what you need to do by the letter of the law, so that you can be brought back into community. But that one who came back to Jesus, that Samaritan, seems to have been more aware of God's presence in Jesus Christ. That one returned to give thanks. He was aware that God had obviously been present. He had obviously thought about God. He knew the scriptures. He knew this must be the Messiah. This marginalized, outcast Samaritan had faith to see God in this simple man from Nazareth and to come back and give thanks. How many of us are like the 9? We mostly do what we've been told is the appropriate thing to do, and yet we live our lives more or less unaware of God's activity in the midst of our everyday, ordinary lives. How many of us seek God out in moments of need, or those moments when we want to defend our actions based on Scripture, proving that we're a good Christian, and yet live the majority of our life oblivious to the many, many little moments when God is at work in all of His amazing fullness and power? Most of us, unfortunately, view God as an idea, a concept, not as a God of action actively at work in us, among us, through us, and even in spite of us. I'm not pointing fingers, casting blame. We've all been taught, myself included, to see God through a lens of our doctrines and our beliefs, as if that's enough. But more and more, we're realizing how much of our modern world buffers us from seeing God at work, and we need to be reconnected. The modern world has taught us to look through our individual lenses. We haven't been given the practices in our life to really allow us to become fully aware of God's presence in these everyday moments. So this passage is about us. We are those who are stuck in a borderland of sorts. The ways in which we've lived out our faith, that we've celebrated and worshiped as a church, they're no longer the norms. Yet, We know that we're traveling towards Jerusalem, but we're also in an uncertain, liminal time. Things are changing. We need to be looking for the Samaritan healings of our day, the ways in which God chooses to heal those who we've been taught are outsiders, aliens, foreigners. Oh no, God can't be speaking through them. They don't have degrees. They haven't been ordained. You're just a common person sitting in the pew. What do you know? We need to get rid of that and to find those ways that we can learn to be able to say, yes, here is where I have seen God at work. Here is where I'm giving thanks. We need to do more than just go through the quote-unquote appropriate motions. Or as Presbyterians like to say, we need to do more than just being decent and in order. We need to do that, but we need to do more. We can't allow that to simplify everything. We need to remember that Jesus sees us. He remembers us. Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. He remembers us, brings us back together as part of the family of God. We need to return to give him thanks. We do this not only on Sunday morning worship, but in regular everyday practices of prayer, of reading God's word, of gathering together, of studying, of sharing together those stories of where God is at work in our lives. May we engage in practices that cultivate eyes that see the unexpected encounters with Jesus in the ordinary, everyday moments of life. May we have the faith of a foreigner who has been outcast and is now brought back and made whole and saved. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. One of the ways that we show our thanks for all that God has entrusted to us is we offer back a portion of that which God has entrusted to us. We offer back God's tithes, responding to what God commands us to do, to give a tithe of what we have earned, and to also give our offerings that goes above and beyond our tithe. I invite the ushers to come forward to gather God's tithes and our offerings. Almighty and healing God, we give you thanks for the many blessings of our lives, for the many ways you have healed us. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks for making us whole and bringing us back together. And we look forward to that day when all that we gather together and offer back to you in thanks is multiplied and used to further your kingdom, so that we might all gather together. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated as we turn to God in the time of prayer, praying for one another in our family of faith and for those around the world. Almighty God, we give you thanks for an opportunity to gather together to worship you. We thank you that we are able to gather together without fear of being persecuted. We lift up to you those around the world who do gather, who risk persecution. We lift up to you those who are gathering together with intrepidation of attacks that may be happening. We lift up our nation. We lift up countries around the world. We ask that your peace might come upon this world. Lord, we ask that you would give us voices to be able to stand up against oppressive powers. We ask that you give us the silence to be able to live out the faith that you have given to us. Lord, help us to find ways to gather together and to give you praise and glory, to thank you. We lift up those who are struggling with their health, with illness, with surgeries, with mental status changes. We ask that your healing power would be at work through doctors, nurses, in miraculous ways. In the midst of whatever we encounter, may we offer you praise and thanks. Lord, we lift up to you the many divisions within the Church Universal. We ask that you would allow us to learn to set aside our differences. We ask that your Spirit would help us to have healthy, strong conversations, encouraging one another. Lord, allow us to learn what it means to live out being your children. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts. Be with us and help us to go and to show others that we are changed, and allow us to experience the wholeness of being brought back together, sharing together with other believers, and being a witness to those around us of a life that has been changed by your love and your forgiveness. We pray this all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able for sending him. Now thank we all our God, and as the light of Christ goes out into the world, may you symbolically follow that, taking the light of Christ to all those whom God places in your path. reminder of the Growing Connections time of learning from the Fond du Lac Sheriff's Department about scams and spams that are out there happening after worship. But having encountered the risen Christ and received God's healing love, go now among the borders of our world, sharing the good news of God's presence and compassion. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.